So these Sunday lectures, we have covered quite a number of topics. Some of you may remember that at the beginning of the year, I gave a series of talks on the Four Noble Truths and the Noble Eightfold Path. And in the course of the first and the second of those talks, I touched upon a topic which constitutes one of the most important aspects, if not the most important aspect, the most important principle even, of Buddhist thought or Buddhist philosophy, that is what is called the law of conditionality. The law that whatever arises, arises in dependence upon conditions and ceases when those conditions cease to exist. It may be in the material world, the mental world, emotional world, even the spiritual world. Whatever arises, arises in dependence upon conditions. There's no chance, no accident, no fate, no destiny, but what we call the process of universal conditionality at all levels of existence, from the very bottom, as it were, to the very top, as it were, of mundane, phenomenal existence. Now we saw, in the course of those first two talks in that series, and also on various other occasions, that broadly speaking, there are two kinds of conditionality, or two ways, as it were, in which the law or the principle of conditionality can act or operate. One we called the cyclical, the other we called the spiral. Now, the cyclical mode or the cyclical type of conditionality is that type or that mode which consists in a process of action and reaction between factors which are opposites. As for instance, when you go from pleasure to pain, or when you go from life to death, birth to rebirth, and so on. This is a cyclical movement of action and reaction between pairs or factors which are opposites. Now, the other, with which we're not so much concerned this evening, the cyclical order or mode of conditionality, is a process of action and reaction between factors which progressively augment one another, that is, the succeeding factor augmenting the effect of the preceding factor instead of reacting from it to its opposite. So that when you have, for instance, pleasure, you go from pleasure to happiness, from happiness to joy, from joy to rapture, from rapture to bliss, in an ascending progressive spiral order, as it were. So within conditionality, there are these two great modes, these two great ways, as it were, in which conditionality operates. Action and reaction between factors, or pairs of factors which are opposites, and action and reaction between factors which progressively augment, the succeeding augmenting the effect of the preceding one. Now this process of action and reaction between factors which are opposites, between happiness and unhappiness, pleasure and pain, birth and death, loss and gain. This is what we call in Buddhist language the samsara, or the wheel of conditioned existence within which we revolve round and round and round, within the two extreme limits, the two great opposites, that is birth on the one hand and death and rebirth on the other. Now, within this great process of action and reaction between birth and death, samsara, the wheel of life, the wheel of existence, there are many different pairs of opposites again. We might say minor pairs of opposites. So this evening, we are dealing with one of those pairs. Last week you heard, most of you, those of you who were here, what the topic of today's lecture was going to be. You were told, if you remember, that it was going to be what we call the heights and the depths in the spiritual life. So this evening we're dealing with this particular pair of opposites between which we act and react, as it were, within that great pair of opposites represented by the samsara, or conditioned or phenomenal existence as a whole. So as the title of the talk suggests, we are dealing with the heights and the depths, not just as it were in the abstract, but we're dealing with them within the context of the spiritual life. Now we may say that very broadly speaking, there are two kinds of pairs of opposites. We can say that these are, as you read, the horizontal and the vertical. The horizontal meaning, when you've got a pair of factors which are, as it were, on the same level. The other, the vertical, when the pairs of opposites are, as it were, arranged hierarchically. As an example of the first, you might say, take the pair of opposites represented, say, by the two sexes, say, man and woman. This is a vertical pair of opposites. A horizontal pair of opposites. But if you take the pair of opposites, say, represented, say, by teacher and disciple, this represents a relation of opposites not on the horizontal, but on the vertical, as it were, in a hierarchical kind of order. So when we speak of the heights and the depths, obviously we are concerned with a vertically arranged pair of opposites. That suggests itself from the very words themselves. The heights are, as it were, up there. The depths are, as it were, down there. Now, what exactly do we mean by these expressions? The heights on the one hand and the depths on the other, in the context of the spiritual life. Very broadly speaking, to put it briefly, we may say that in this context, what we call the heights represent, to begin with, consciousness. And the depths, we may say, represent what is usually called the unconscious, with a capital U. Or we can say, paraphrasing, that the heights represent mind, or thought, or intellect, whereas the depths represent what we may call instinct, or emotion, or will, volition, inclination, and all the rest of it. So we've got these two, as it were. We've got the conscious, intellectual heights, and the unconscious, instinctual, emotional, volitional depths. So the question which arises is the question of the relationship between these two, the heights and the depths, the conscious and the unconscious. Reason, if you like, thought, intellect, instinct, emotion, will.